The Elevator by Angelo Jussé. The city of Jamaica in Queens, New York, was a maze of glass and steel, its skyline a jagged silhouette against the perpetually overcast sky. At the heart of downtown stood the Astoria Tower, a monolith made of obsidian stone and smoked glass that seemed to absorb light rather than reflect it. For years, rumors circulated about the building, including whispers of strange occurrences, floors that didn't appear on any blueprint, and an elevator that manifested only for those who were desperate, lost, or both. Clifford Joshua was both. At 32, Clifford's life had unraveled like a cheap sweater. His job as a junior accountant at a mid-tier firm had been eliminated in a corporate restructuring. His savings were dwindling, and his fiancée, Kim, had left him 3 months ago, citing his inability to move forward. The weight of his failures pressed down on him as he wandered Jamaica's streets, his coat damp from the evening drizzle. He hadn't meant to end up at the Astoria Tower. His feet had carried him there, as if drawn by some invisible thread. The lobby was cavernous, its marble floors polished to a mirror-like sheen. A lone security guard sat behind a desk, engrossed in a paperback novel. Clifford hesitated, his reflection staring back at him from the floor. He didn't belong here. He wasn't sure where he belonged anymore. But the cold outside and the ache in his bones urged him forward. To the left of the lobby, a bank of elevators gleamed, their stainless steel doors catching the light of the chandeliers above. But a single, unmarked door at the far end of the hall caught Clifford's eye. Unlike the others, it was framed in dark wood, its surface carved with intricate, swirling patterns that seemed to shift when he looked at them too long. A faint red glow seeped from the crack beneath it. Clifford glanced at the security guard, who hadn't looked up. His hand hovered over the call button, a small brass disc etched with a symbol he couldn't quite place, a circle bisected by a jagged line. He pressed it, and the door slid open with a soft hiss, revealing a small square room bathed in a deep crimson light. The elevator was unlike any he'd seen before. The walls were a rich, blood-red hue, their surfaces smooth and glossy, like lacquered wood. The floor was covered in a plush red carpet that sank slightly under his weight. In the center of the room stood a single, ornate chair, its frame carved from dark mahogany and upholstered in crimson velvet. It was beautiful, almost regal, but something about it made Clifford's skin prickle. He stepped inside, and the doors closed behind him with a soft thud. The air grew heavy, thick with a scent he couldn't place, something metallic, tinged with decay. There were no buttons on the walls, no panel to select a floor. The elevator was silent, except for a low hum that seemed to emanate from the walls, vibrating through his bones. Clifford's eyes returned to the chair. It was positioned perfectly in the center of the room, its cushions plush and inviting. He felt an inexplicable pull toward it, a longing to sit and rest. His legs ached from hours of walking, and his mind was exhausted. The chair promised relief, a moment of respite from the chaos of his life. As he stepped closer, he noticed a faint inscription on the backrest, its letters glowing faintly in the red light. He leaned in, squinting to make out the words, "Welcome, weary traveler. Rest here, and your burdens will be lifted." The words were comforting, almost hypnotic. Clifford's hand hovered over the velvet cushion, his fingers trembling. The fabric looked soft and luxurious, but there was something unnatural about how the light played across it, as if it were absorbing the glow rather than reflecting it. He hesitated, his instincts screaming at him to step back, to find a way out. But the hum in the walls grew louder, more insistent, and the red light pulsed like a heartbeat, casting dancing shadows across the room. The cushion was cold, unnaturally, sending a shiver down his body. The chair seemed to mold itself to him, its contours shifting to cradle his frame. He momentarily felt a wave of relief, as if the weight of his failures had been lifted. But then the hum intensified, becoming a low, guttural drone that made his teeth ache. The red light flared, filling the room with an oppressive glow. Clifford tried to stand, but his body felt heavy, as if the chair held him in place. Panic surged through him, and he gripped the armrests, his knuckles whitening. The inscription on the chair flickered, the words shifting before his eyes. "Rest here" became "stay here," and then, more ominously, "you are mine." The chair lurched forward, its legs sinking into the carpet with a wet, sucking sound. Clifford yelped, scrambling to free himself, but the velvet seemed to cling to his skin, its texture shifting from soft to slick, like the hide of some living thing. The chair tilted upward, its backrest rising toward the ceiling, and the red light pulsed faster, bathing the room in a sickly, crimson haze. Clifford's breath came in shallow gasps as the chair's silhouette changed, its edges blurred, the wood and velvet twisting and reforming into something grotesque. The armrests elongated, sprouting jagged, bony protrusions. The backrest curved inward, forming a hunched humanoid shape. Two glowing amber eyes blinked open where the inscription had been, and a mouth yawned wide, revealing rows of needle-like teeth that glinted in the red light. "Come," it hissed, its voice a raspy whisper that seemed to come from everywhere and nowhere. "Come and rest." Clifford screamed, but the thick, suffocating air swallowed the sound. He kicked and thrashed, but the chair's grip tightened, its velvet tendrils coiling around his wrists and ankles. The elevator doors were gone, replaced by smooth crimson walls that seemed to pulse in time with the hum. He was trapped, alone with the monstrous thing that had once been a chair. The creature lunged, its teeth bared, its eyes burning with malevolent hunger. Clifford threw his arms up, shielding his face, but the creature's cold, metallic embrace enveloped him. Its touch was like ice, searing his skin as it pulled him closer. He felt his strength draining, his thoughts growing sluggish, as if the creature were feeding on his essence. But then, a memory flickered in his mind, Kim's voice, sharp and exasperated, telling him to fight, to stop letting life happen to him. The words ignited something deep within him, a spark of defiance that refused to be extinguished. With a surge of adrenaline, Clifford drove his elbow into the creature's face, feeling a sickening crunch as its teeth shattered. The creature recoiled, its form flickering like a bad signal. The red light dimmed, and the hum faltered. Clifford seized the moment, wrenching himself free from the chair's grasp and stumbling to his feet. The elevator walls shimmered, and for a fleeting moment, he saw the outline of a door where none had been before. He lunged for it, his fingers scrabbling at the smooth surface. The creature hissed behind him, its form coalescing again, but Clifford didn't look back. He pounded on the wall, desperation fueling his strength, until the door materialized fully, its carved patterns glowing faintly. With a final, desperate shove, the door slid open, and Clifford tumbled into the lobby of the Astoria Tower. The marble floor was cold beneath him, and the chandeliers cast a warm, golden light that felt like salvation. He gasped for air, his heart pounding, as the door behind him vanished, leaving only a blank wall. The security guard looked up from his novel, his brow furrowing. "You okay, buddy?" he asked, setting the book down. Clifford couldn't speak. He nodded weakly, pulling himself to his feet and staggering toward the exit. The city outside was still gray and damp, but it felt alive and vibrant compared to the suffocating crimson of the elevator. He didn't look back at the Astoria Tower as he walked away, his steps quickening with each breath. Days later, Clifford found himself at a small coffee shop, a notebook open in front of him. He was sketching a plan for himself, not for a job or a relationship. The encounter in the elevator had shaken him to his core and awakened something. He wasn't sure if the chair was real or a manifestation of his despair, but it didn't matter. It had shown him what surrender looked like, and he refused to let that be his story. The Astoria Tower still loomed over Jamaica, Queens, its dark facade unchanging. But Clifford never returned. He heard the rumors and stories of others who'd seen the red elevator and felt its pull. Some claimed it offered salvation, Others swore it was a trap. Clifford didn't care to find out which was true. He was done resting. He was ready to move forward.